Hello, this is Mallory Patrick, and you are listening to the Newness of Spirit podcast. The title of this episode is The Lowliness of Jesus, Part 2. Let's open with prayer. Lord, we come before you through the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Spirit of God that is opening the Word to us that we can see Jesus in a way that we just can't on our own. And we invite the Holy Spirit to make this Jesus so real to us in our hearts that we take on this very image by life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Merry Christmas, first of all. I hope that you have had a blessed season so far. And the joy that comes with this season, knowing that we are celebrating the incarnation, Jesus coming to earth, God made flesh. I know that I've had a blessed season so far, and I love just being able to take this time to meditate on Jesus in this way. And I hope that the scriptures that we are looking at in this little two-part series will really be able to assist you in your further understanding of Christ, how he really, really is, and how he wants to live in us as his people, not by commandments like we're supposed to be super humiliated and humble all the time. Nothing like that. But just to see him as he really, really is, and to let that one live in us the way that he wants to. Anyway, we're going to pick up where we left off here in our last episode. And what we were talking about last time is that a huge part of what we celebrate is Jesus's lowliness. During this time, we talk about how he's truly the Son of God, an equal member of the Trinity along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But for love of his Father and for the love of mankind, he chose to be born into poverty to an occupied nation, a conquered nation whose best days really were behind them. And there was no room for him to be born among men, just because of the circumstances of the day, and so he was born among animals. So even his entrance into our world was very lowly and humble. But Jesus was never really released from that lowliness as he grew, and when the scriptures pick up his story as his ministry commences, this being crowded out, can you say, or not really being given a high place of honor, this situation kind of extended into his ministry all through the Gospels, and we are specifically looking at this in the Gospel of Mark in his first chapter. And it's just so sweet to see how he is so quietly a servant, and not only is this something that's happening to him, that people aren't giving him the place that he should have as the Son of God, but how that's just kind of how he is, that he's not going to look for that kind of a place or even take it. And what we've been doing also is, as we've been going through chapter 1 in Mark, we are contrasting how Jesus handled these different situations that we're looking at with how our flesh and our minds react in the same situations. We are putting ourselves in Jesus's shoes, if you will, looking at how he responds in a lowly spirit, and thinking about how we might respond if the circumstances were the same for us. And why is that important? Is it because we want to beat ourselves up or be really legalistic or morbid and introspective? No. We want to allow the Spirit of God to bring a contrast to us so that we can see Jesus and then see us in the light of Jesus. Because when we just look at ourselves, we see some good things and we see some bad things, but basically, there's not a whole lot of change into his image that happens. But when we see Jesus, we fall at his feet and say, "Oh Lord, I am nothing like you. Even my good spots are like filthy rags to you." So we want to see how we are in the light of how he is, so that the Jesus that we are seeing will leap off the page by the power of the Spirit and take form in our hearts in a way that he can live. Okay? That's what we're trying to do. So, like I said just a couple minutes ago, the things that were going on with Jesus when he was walking in a humble way on this earth, those weren't just things that were happening to him It is who He is that we're looking at, okay? And to know Him as our life will include this aspect of how low and humble He was, and not just in this or that situation, but just as a way of life. It's just a mark of who He is. He's meek and lowly, and when He lives in us, He is exactly the same as we see Him in this chapter. Okay, so, and again, the lowliness of Jesus is not a law to be laid upon us. We can never be what Jesus is. No law or commandment or requirement is ever going to get us shaped up in a way where we will look like Jesus, will it? Nope, we will never be able to handle the confining circumstances in which Jesus found Himself with the same grace and poise as He did. So we're going to pick up where we left off. We're going to let the Spirit of God open our eyes and our hearts to Jesus. We're going to put ourselves in Jesus' shoes and think about how we would react in those situations. And just to remember that we as human beings have expectations for something more than where we're at right now. And there's some kind of a unconscious assumption or presupposition that we ought to be on our way up, and that if we are following the Lord, there's more for us, that there's going to be more honor, more ministry, more success. And that's something that we kind of all have fallen into, at least in this country, if nowhere else. But we want to contrast that assumption with how Jesus lived during His 3 years of ministry. And we want to forsake whatever is not Christ and come to Him and just allow the Spirit of God to feed Him to us in a way that Jesus becomes our life manifestly and not just our life theologically or because the Word says so. Okay, so are you ready? If you need to go grab your Bible, we are going to be starting in Mark 1, verses 30 and 31. And let's see here. I guess I'll just read that. I'm going to start with verse 29, though. I think that'll be a little better for context. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. So here in this particular scenario, when Jesus was told of a need, He immediately served the request. This is the mentality of a servant, not of a mighty leader, right? And notice how Jesus regularly is led by the wishes and the demands of others in this chapter. Over and over again, you can see that He is not working an agenda where He has a plan to catapult His ministry into great fame and success, but He is more led by the desires of others. And this is that lowly mind. And it says over in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. And it goes on to say how He became in the likeness of a man, and then He became a slave, and then He humbled Himself even to death, even the death of the cross. We're seeing this here. This is the Son of God. He is deity. He is all-powerful and all-knowing, but He has humbled Himself to serve the needs of fallen man without a word of reproof of what He thinks He ought to be doing. We don't know if He's had to cancel plans or change what He felt the Father was going to have Him do. He was simply led by those who demanded that He serve them. They were asking for help. This is precious because a leader doesn't have time to serve the needs of the lowly. A leader is too busy leading. But here Jesus is not portrayed as a leader. He's portrayed as a servant. So now let's think about how we are in that situation. When people come knocking on your door or they blow up your phone because they need help, how do we respond to that? Are we too important in our own eyes to be able to lay down the things that we feel are important in order to get inside someone else's life and help them out? Or are we able to just simply put our things aside, trust them in the hands of the Lord, and go love one another You see, love one another. And notice too that this happened also first with the Holy Spirit, that earlier in the chapter he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. And so probably Jesus wasn't too keen on all that, because it wasn't going to be an easy 40 days, was it? But he submitted to the move of the Spirit and went. And now we see him doing the same thing, having the same spirit and attitude with the sick. And just as a final point on this particular verse, notice the spirit of the woman and how she served him in return. She just didn't receive a healing and then go on about her life. She was healed unto service to God and others. She served the Lord and the disciples. And I just have to wonder if when Jesus healed her, she picked up on that serving attitude and the lowliness of his heart, and it affected her, and she responded by being the same back to him and others. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'll tell you, when we begin to perceive Jesus and see how he is, that thing, that spirit begins to work in us too. And so let's just take note of that, shall we? That if we find ourselves high-minded and thinking that other people ought to serve our interests and pushing our agenda when we are with others instead of pursuing, supporting their lives and their needs, if we find ourselves like that, then we need to ask ourselves, what Jesus are we seeing? What Jesus are we following? Are we following the Jesus that the Holy Spirit is revealing in Mark chapter 1? I know that that goes against our natural inclinations to be a servant at all times and to put other people in front of ourselves and not worry about our own things. We feel at some point there's a break where we have to say, well, that's enough. I need to take care of my things now. But eternal life doesn't do that. Okay, eternal life gives itself unto death. So we can never do that, can we? That can't even be commanded of us. But the Holy Spirit can land upon Christ within us, who came into our hearts when we were saved, and we were saved into this very purpose, to let Jesus live. Okay, we can do it in that way. We just can't do it in our own strength. All right, let's look at verses 32 through the first part of 34. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils. Okay, the neighbors asked for miracles, didn't they? The neighbors asked for miracles, and he waited upon them all and honored their requests. Amazing. He didn't try to get out of there really fast, did he? He stayed with them and he served their needs. And like I said before, a leader is just too busy to find himself in this situation. A leader will find a way of escape so they can go do their important things. And I'm not saying there isn't a time to be a leader. And Jesus was the leader of the disciples, and he did lead for sure. But the Spirit of God wants to open Jesus to us today in this facet, the facet of a lowly-minded person, a lowly-hearted person who served others and esteemed others better than himself. This is the Son of God doing it. And we're not above him, are we? We follow Jesus, but more than follow Jesus, he lives in us. We are his habitation. We are earthen vessels, and he is the treasure within, this one. And we want Jesus to live in us in all of his facets. Amen? And not to use his throne now as an excuse to keep us from living Jesus the way he is in his eternal spirit. Okay, so he honored all their requests. Now look at the second half of verse 34. He permitted not the devils to speak, because they knew him. The devils could have told the people that this was the Son of God, but he did not let that happen, did he? He did not permit the demons to identify him. Now, why would that be? Because he's just got a fake humility issue? No, because he does not accept accolades from just anyone. He only accepts honor from the Father and from those whose eyes the Spirit opens. Now, this is so important. I can't stress this enough. Put yourself in this situation. Let's say God was using you in a healing ministry, and all of a sudden, people who are getting deliverance, all of a sudden, the demons that are coming out of them are saying, "That's the Son of God." How would you respond in that situation? Would you say, "Oh, good, God is honoring me and giving me a wider ministry because I'm being faithful to Him"? Well, Jesus wasn't having it. Jesus doesn't think that way. Jesus doesn't assume that He should just be honored by anyone and receive fame and promotion and networking, if you will, from just anybody. He discerns what spirit it's of, what source it's of. We talked about that once in an episode some time back. To discern what spirit something is of. Jesus discerned the spirit and chose not to let it speak, even if it would have benefited him for them to speak. But how are we when we're in that situation? Do we want to take any honor or flattery or praise or even sincere honor and add it all up and let it go so that people will find out about us? Because that's not Christ. Okay, and I know that's really hard for us in this day and age because much of how we relate to people on social media is based on getting as much honor as we can, as many likes as we can, as many friends as we can, as many recommendations as we can. And it's just not God's way. It is man's way. Jesus only accepted his Father's honor, and he wouldn't accept it from the wrong source. And I'm going to tell you that if fame is what you're after, and a lot of people approving of you, then you're going to accept stuff from the wrong source. And as a believer, it's going to get you into some trouble because you're going to be at the behest of things that are of a wrong spirit, and you're going to get entangled with those things. But if you just keep your eyes on Jesus and allow the Father to honor the Son in you when He feels like it and in the way that He wants to, your life will be peaceful, much more peaceful, and much more at ease than if you're entangled with other things, okay? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Okay, let's see here. Let's look at verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." So his first priority is to his Father, not to the ministry or to getting with the brethren. Okay? Or even getting well known, for that matter. His first priority is to his Father, not to building his ministry, not to making sure people know him, not to be with the brethren and help them out. First of all, he goes and spends time with his Father. And if that means his ministry is going to be smaller, then so be it. Because he wasn't really building his ministry by his own efforts, was he? He was simply allowing the Father to bring whom it pleased him to bring. And he served within the realm that God gave him by these people coming. I do believe, possibly, that Jesus was waiting upon his Father's word with a heart that does not want honor just for the sake of being stroked. He was simply waiting upon his Father, communing with his Father, allowing his Father to speak, and so he didn't need vast multitudes to come and tell him how wonderful he was, right? And he didn't need that kind of honor or fame because he was with his Father. And oh, that we would develop a heart condition that just wants to be with the Father and doesn't need the approval of man, doesn't need man to recognize what we're doing or get us to a better place or get us honor or whisper our names in the ears of movers and shakers and people who can give us favor and change our lives forever. Oh, that we simply had a priority of being with the Lord, and He could just open whatever doors that pleased Him. Amen. Honor must come from the only source that matters, a source that always honors in a right spirit. You see, because of the Father honors his Son, he does it for the right reasons. It's not flattery, and it's not just being impressed or hero worship happening. It's the Father honoring the Son. So let's not seek honor for ourselves anymore. Amen. Let's just determine that in our hearts. Let's just get out of the way and allow the Father to honor the Son when he so chooses. Can we just pray over that real quick? I would like to pray over that. Father, we are sorry that we have sought honor and we have believed the lie of this present age that we must have honor from man in order to be successful in this life. And whether that's simply a pull that we have in our personalities and temperaments, or if simply we have just bought into the lie of social media that says you have to be well-liked and well-known on social media in order to have any value, Lord, we realize that we have erred in doing that. And we have hearts for you, and we want to renounce that lust and passion right now in Jesus' name. We firmly plant our feet on the cross and say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, we don't want to follow the things of the flesh anymore. We want to learn to cultivate a heart that loves the Father above all else and simply to be with him in whatever means or way that comes our way and to humbly accept from the Father's hand whatever he chooses to bring, whether it's honor or obscurity or a large ministry or just small things that we do for Jesus here and there. Whatever it is, Lord, may we be so bound up with the Son and with the Father that we are truly dead to the pulls of the flesh that desires that fame. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's move on. And we're going to look at verses 37 through 39. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. So he yields to the people who are looking for him. Pretty interesting, huh? He was spending time with the Lord. Sounds like maybe he would have spent more time with the Lord if he hadn't been interrupted, right? And he yields to their wishes. He combines serving the people with service to his Father so that he is the least of all. He puts himself under his Father at all times, but he also submits to the people. So he is in the lower seat, isn't he? He serves the people by giving them the healing and the deliverance they are asking for. And he serves his Father by preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amazing. Okay, let's look at verses 40 through 42. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Again, how many times have we seen it in this chapter? Jesus yields to the desires of another. He doesn't show any supernatural ability. Notice this. He does not show any supernatural ability except when serving others and lifting them up. Oh my goodness, if we could get hold of this. He did not show any supernatural ability to lift himself up or to prove that he was the Son of God. He used the ability that his Father had given him by the Holy Spirit to serve, to be lower than others and to lift them up. So Jesus doesn't display God's gift for his own benefit. Now think about that and you put yourself in that situation. If you had been empowered by the Holy Spirit for ministry, how would you handle that? Would you make sure you did as many miracles as you could to get as wide of a following as you could? Because that is the way of man. But Jesus just didn't do that, did he? He used it to serve others and his Father, and if he wasn't serving God and others, those giftings were not in use. Okay? All right. Also notice that this man's spirit was good and lowly. I wonder also if this in part is what moved the Lord to compassion, because he didn't come to Jesus demanding in a high-minded fashion. He said, kneeling down, "If you will, you can make me clean." So he was leaving it in the hands of Jesus. He wasn't demanding that Jesus minister to him. He was saying that he could if he wanted to. And I think that that nature of putting Jesus above himself moved Jesus, and he responded and said, "I do want you to be clean. I do want to heal you." Let's put ourselves in the leper's position. How often when we have a need, do we come in a meek and lowly spirit and say, "I don't know what you want, Lord. I know that you're able to take care of the situation, and I'm asking you to take care of it, but only if you want to take care of it." What an attitude of lowliness and meekness. Jesus probably would have healed him if he had demanded it, because Jesus is meek and lowly too. But he didn't approach Jesus that way. He approached him in a meek and lowly spirit, and he got a response that is precious. "I will. Be thou clean." May we learn to relate to the Lord in this way and approach him with this meek and lowly spirit all the time, and not only with our fellow man. Amen. I think it's just beautiful. Okay, let's look at verses 43 and 44, the first part. "And he strictly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man." So he charged the healed leper to say nothing to anyone. In so doing, Jesus was making himself of no reputation, right? He didn't want word to get out of this healing just for the sake of making him famous, all right? So he was keeping his reputation under wraps. Okay, let's put ourselves in that situation. If the Lord used us to heal a leper, how would we respond to that? Would we call up our best friend and let him know? Would we post it on Facebook, right? Would we put it in our newsletter if we have a ministry? Jesus said, "Don't tell anyone." Now, I know it sounds like you're plunging a knife in the heart of your ministry or whatever else it is you're doing that you're self-promoting when you do things like this. But this is the thing. If just flesh doesn't say it, well, that's fine. It's probably good that the flesh isn't speaking. But what has eternal value and what truly brings forth fruit is the Spirit of Jesus being able to live in us. And if he lives in this way in us, then the fruit will come forth in the right way in the right time. We don't have to make something happen. And we certainly don't have to rely upon the accolades and the networking of man to make sure that our God-given ministry bears the fruit it's supposed to bear. If the Father has given giftings, if the Father has given a sphere of ministry or put a call, then he will open the doors for that as he sees fit. And we can simply let Jesus live and let this mind be in us that esteems others better than themselves and doesn't put themselves forward. Also, it is kind of similar to a little bit before when he silenced the demon and wouldn't let the demons speak of who he was. That has more to do with receiving honor from a wrong source. And this one has more to do with making himself of no reputation, I think. And those are different aspects, but still the Spirit of Christ. And I will leave you to meditate on that. And we will move to the second part of verse 44. It says, "But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." So, he tells the man to show yourself to the priest, bring the proper offering for the cleansing of a leper. Jesus subjects himself to the law of Moses. Even though what he did was of God and from grace, which is higher than the law of Moses. I mean, if you have been around at all as a believer, you surely have received some kind of teaching on law and grace and how grace is higher than law. But here we see Jesus subjecting himself to the law of Moses. And yes, I do believe in part it's true because he was still living under the law in the sense that the law had not yet been fulfilled by the death of the cross. So he was honoring the law. But I think with Jesus, there's a little bit more going on than that. His lowliness results in the fact that he just isn't troubled by having to do it. Whoever is sitting in a higher seat, he honors that person, whether it's right or not, whether they're right or not in that seat. Because you know how many run-ins Jesus had with the law keepers of his day. He had a lot of problems, didn't he? But he subjected himself to them. Amazing. And then just looking at the very last phrase of verse 44, for a testimony unto them. Jesus desired that the gospel be preached to the priests and the Levites, didn't he? How does he do that? How does he preach the gospel to them? Does he go himself? Does he go with the leper and say, I want you to recognize that this guy is cleansed and that he used to be a leper and I'm the one who did it. So you need to know that I'm the Son of God and you need to believe everything I say. Did he do that? He did not do that, did he? No, he sent a lowly messenger in his place. Now think about this. This man used to be a leper and now he's cleansed. But when he was a leper, he was in the lowest strata of society, correct? I mean, he couldn't even be in town, really. And so you have a lowly messenger in that respect, but also he's a lowly messenger because, he doesn't even know who Jesus is. Jesus is sending him to preach the gospel. This guy doesn't know he's the Son of God. At least he doesn't say so. So Jesus is sending a guy who doesn't even know him that well to preach the gospel. Amazing. Do you think that's how he sends some of us sometimes, that he sends us to minister and we don't even have a clue? But we have enough of an experience with Jesus that we have something we can say, right? At least display the cleanness with which he's made us clean, if nothing else. Oh, let us be humbled before the Lord. We just don't know him like we could. Okay, so he sends a lowly messenger. Jesus doesn't have to be the one God is using. He doesn't have to be in the center of what's going on. He sends the guy who doesn't even know him very well, the guy who just got healed, as the emissary of the gospel. Jesus doesn't declare himself to the powers that be in order to preach the gospel, but allows for the offering itself to bear witness. I have noticed personally a lot of times when the Lord sends me to minister to others that it's most effective if I just let the Lord do the ministering and not me. That they don't need to hear from me all the time. They can simply receive from the Lord, and that will do way more good for people. Touch their hearts, meet their needs, bring them along in the Lord in spiritual maturity much more than if I'm directing traffic, you know. So Jesus must increase and we must decrease. Amen? Okay, verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Okay, so Jesus told him not to spread it around, and his directive was completely disregarded by this man, who, in declaring himself and his healing, made Jesus look as though he was declaring himself, and so misrepresented Jesus to the people. Brothers and sisters, do we declare ourselves in such a way that we misrepresent Jesus to the people? Jesus desired that the offering speak for itself, but this man had to gain stature by what had happened to him, and so he had to tell everybody he saw. Okay? In so doing, he misrepresents the Lord, who didn't want it spoken and didn't want to be perceived as important or famous. But now he is perceived as both important and famous. Now, with our carnal minds, we see nothing wrong with that. But Jesus is trying to be the servant of all, not the object of hero worship. Okay? So, this causes problems for Jesus. What does Jesus do? Does he correct the guy who he just healed? No. Jesus submits to the fallout from this man's lack of subjection, and he goes out into the wilderness. Now, just remember, he has just told his disciples in verse 38, let's go into the towns to preach. So that was the word of the Lord. That was the plan from God. Amen? Amen? And this man single-handedly threw a wrench in what the Lord wanted to do. Do you and I throw wrenches in what the Lord wants to do? I know I have. I freely admit it. I want to be more and more in His image, and I want to decrease and let Him increase so that I don't run off and do what I think would be best and disregard His word, which is tell no man in this case. Okay, so Jesus submits to the fallout of this man's lack of subjection. He goes out into the wilderness. Probably out in the wilderness, it's a place that is harder on him and on the people he is ministering to. It probably would have been easier on everyone had he been able to go into the towns near the people's homes. But we don't have one word from Jesus. He humbly changes direction and adjusts to the wrong spirit in the cleansed leper. He had desired to go into the towns, but now they have to come to him in the wilderness. Our Jesus is beautiful, isn't he? Don't you want more of him living in you? I know I want more of him living in me. And yes, we probably have acted like the cleansed leper on occasion, but the real issue isn't that. The real issue is looking at Jesus until we're changed. So let's let the Word of God enter into our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to brood over it and begin to make it food for us that we can be in his image. Lord, thank you for our short time together today. I know this is probably not the most exciting teaching, but for those who are listening, I believe that you are speaking to their hearts about something much more eternal than how we live our lives every day after our own wisdom and understanding. Lord, there is a greater way to live in oneness with the Spirit of Christ, the way Jesus walked the earth when he was here, displaying for us what he wants from us. Lord, I pray that you will find those in whom you can enlarge hearts to receive this word, not my word, but your word, the holy living word of God, and to eat it and to take on the image of the Son and to bring it forth to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.